always fun to go up to Jacksonville. Matt Hayes, senior national college football writer, USA Today Network, as well as co-host of the 1010 XL Jacksonville Sports Show. Matt Hayes, how are you, brother?
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Joe Rose.
I don't know about that. I'd like to say very average, but thanks, Matt. I appreciate that. Hey, Matt, I got to tell you, I've had all the Jacksonville guys down here for the practices.
Yeah.
And they're all drinking the Kool-Aid that Travis Hunter's going to be able to play 100-plus plays every game. And I just laugh at everybody, and they're drinking the coach's Kool-Aid. There is no way he's going to stay healthy very long if he thinks he's going to play both ways. And I haven't everybody come on and tell us that.
So, I get so much grief here by saying that this is not going to happen. They all get so mad at me when I say that. First off, he started camp at 185 pounds. My guess is he's probably around 175 right now. You cannot play in that league at that level, at the two positions he's playing, and play 110, 120. Forget it. I'm not even sure he can play 75 plays at that level. There's a lot of stress on a body. You know that. You played in the league. It's not just playing receiver and getting hit. When you're playing corner, it's not just covering guys. You got to stick your helmet in there and tackle guys. And when he's out there, Joe, they will run specific perimeter run plays where offensive linemen, 320-pound offensive linemen are pulling to hit him. You cannot avoid getting hit. That's been my whole thing with this over and over. He will not be able to avoid getting hit. I think he's a rare athlete. I think if anyone could do it, he might have a chance to do it. But in my head, Joe, and again, you're the former NFL player. You know this. I cannot see him doing this. I can see him playing receiver.
Yeah.
And then I can see him using him in red zone packages.
Okay.
To play corner. But he's not – both ways? Come on, man.
Matt, I'm curious, and we just talked about Travis Hunter. Do you think Deion has a chance to put together a good, respectable season at Colorado without his son and without Travis Hunter?
He's got a good quarterback now. The kid from Liberty, the transfer, Caden Salter, is a good player, really good player. And he's got a five-star freshman as his backup. I don't know why all of us – I don't know why we doubt Deion anymore. Honestly, I just don't. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to procure players, which is what it's all about. He's getting better and better as a game day coach. The players love him. They love playing for him. I don't know why any of us doubt Deion right now. I wouldn't be shocked at all if they're the same 8-9 win team.
Hey, Matt, I do want to ask you about this game next Sunday. Notre Dame comes down here to play Miami. This time around, though, it's not Cam Ward. It's Carson Beck. What are your thoughts on Carson Beck on the rehab coming back here to get things started back up off his injury? And how good a game you expect this to be?
I think it's going to be a great game, number one. Notre Dame's defense is really good. But I will say this. I love the fact that now for two straight years, Mario got himself a quarterback that's got a chip on his shoulder and has something to prove. Carson Beck did not like the way it ended at Georgia.
Nope.
Did not like the fact that he was the fall guy for a team that couldn't catch the ball. 33 drops last year, Joe. 33. An offensive line that underachieved last year, couldn't protect him. And he's the same guy. I don't care who you are at quarterback. I don't care if you're Tom Brady. If they can't protect you and your receivers are dropping the ball, what do you think is going to happen? So you've got an uber-talented quarterback right now who's got a lot to prove, got a big chip on his shoulder, a lot like Cam Ward, but for different reasons, obviously. I think Mario struck it. This is it's a big move for the program. The question is, can they be a team on defense that can get stops when they need them?
Well, I'll tell you what, from lack of going out and hitting that damn transfer portal to clean up everything as well as getting a new defensive coordinator. Hey, I wanted to ask you about 16 playoff teams coming soon. Do you see it happening in the next few years?
Yeah, I see it happening next year, Joe.
Wow.
When the SEC went to the ninth game, I think basically they called the Big Ten's bluff. Because the Big Ten was saying for months now, we're not even talking about doing a 5-11 model, which everybody wants, except for the Big Ten, until the SEC goes to nine conference games, so we're all playing at the same level. Well, now the SEC just called their bluff, and now we're going to see what happens. And my guess is, now that that happened, now that the college football playoffs, they're going to put more weight on strength of schedule. Imagine that, Joe. Imagine that.
Yeah, I saw that.
That should have been done all along.
Right.
They're going to put more weight on strength of schedule. I think the Big Ten will finally agree to the 5-11 model, which is the highest ranked five conference champions and 11 at-large teams, and the 16-team model. I think it starts next year.
Man, I'm curious. Who is controlling college football? Who, obviously, the NCAA is
the SEC commissioner and the Big Ten commissioner.
I mean,
but the presidents of ESPN and Fox, that's who are controlling.
Oh, that's good.
Is it the TV network? Like, who is running this thing here?
And money is running it. Here's the best part, fellas. The money in this entire process is fungible. It's just changing hands among people, from the television partners, to the universities, to the players, to the coaches, back to the universities now, because now the universities are now fining schools, Michigan, $25 million. Instead of putting them on probation, they're just going to get $25 million, and they'll take that $25 million to help pay off the $2.8 billion they owe former players in back play because they cheated them. They cheated them out of NIL. It's all, I'm telling you, man, it's just everybody's moving funny money right now. And it's the best part is, honestly, the best part is, the people who really run the show are the university presidents and chancellors. And they get to hide in the shadows because they have guys like Greg Sankey, guys like Tony Petitti, the commissioners of the SEC and the Big Ten. They're out front, and they're taking all the slings and the arrows, and everybody's saying, they're this guy and they're that guy, and they're the big boogeyman. When it's the presidents and chancellors that are making all these decisions, and then they're telling Sankey and Petitti, go do it.
Yeah. Wow. It's a crazy time. By the way, I figure some of these apps going to be jumping in the business. Matt, are we going to see more of that? Netflix and some other Amazon Prime jumping in.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you, Joe? There's so much money to be made on live sports. Live sports is the only consistent thing right now in TV. And I think, Netflix and Hulu and all those guys are all going to get in because the market is open now. I mean, I think you're going to see Apple get into it as well. There's money to be made, and right now they need to generate revenue because they've got to pay players now. So the fact that they've got to pay players, and let's be honest, there's no way they can prevent this from the players actually getting together and unionizing and collectively bargaining. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. And once it does, their percentage of revenue from the media rights goes from like 22 or 23% to about 49% like the NFL. And then they're going to have to find even more ways of revenue. Yeah. I think that's the frontier now, the pay for play.
Matt, I've heard and this is the thing that you cannot find out what players are being paid legitimately. Is there a way where we can actually have some transparency on that stuff? Because right now I'm curious about the disparity between what an SEC starter is being paid and what an ACC starter is being paid. How do
they're all under the cap of $23 million. Okay, the difference is they can't cap private NIL deals.
Yeah,
and my whole thing with that is, why would you want to cap? Do they cap NIL deals for NFL players? Are NFL players, they can only do so much work with Gatorade or so much work with Coke or so much work with Joe Rose's Cadillac car dealership? How many of those car dealerships you own now, Joe?
Chevy. I got the Chevy dealership.
Chevy, right okay. There. Chevy, very good. me both. I love my Silverado, man. I don't know why we're all so obsessed with what players make in the NIL space. I mean, let them get whatever they want. It's their name. It's their image. It's their likeness that they're dealing with. Now, if you're saying, well, that's where the cheating's coming from, that's how, you recruit and get better players because you offer them more money, I understand that completely. But that then goes all the way back to, well, then you got to unionize these guys and they got to go collectively bargain. And then you end that. That's how that ends.
You know what's so funny about this whole thing, Matt? I still get old school guys my age going, why can't a scholarship and a little food be enough? Why can't they just have it? Why they're getting a free education? I just paid $60,000 to send my kid to Gainesville. And it's like, hey, man.
Right. And if your kid was good enough to play football and could have earned it for free and made a couple million, you just said, go do it, baby. Go get it.
Yeah, in a heartbeat. Hey, Matt, I know you're running tight. Thank you so much, but I really appreciate you coming on. I'd love to come on in Jacksonville, man. I got a lot of buildup up there, buddy. Thank you.
We're going
to
get you. We're going to get you. You know, we always love the great Joe Rose, baby.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
See you, man.
Appreciate it. All right, that's Matt Hayes joining us. Talk a little bit of college, little pro here. Finally, someone, the Travis Hunter thing. These guys, every one of them coming on, I think he can play 100 plays. And I'm like,
we can't
get through.
Yeah.
They go, well, he could play. And then I go, why isn't he playing right? Well, he's not 100%. They want to get him ready. They already know what he can do.
You're never going to be 100% in the NFL. He's going to get banged up, and then you're going to have to decide how you're going to limit what he's doing.
But I do see him using them both ways. What a unique player to talk about, though. So good for the game. Listen to Deion Sanders when he played. So good for the game, man. Yeah.
But Deion also played a position where you could just not practice all week because you're playing baseball and then show up and play cornerback. Travis Hunter doesn't.
Yeah, but Deion not only was playing baseball because we went through it. He's in the World Series, came down here to play with the Falcons, and Nike plane flew him back up real quickly in time for the game. But he started running patterns. He was running takeoffs. He's covering everybody, and he's one of the great. Nothing against a guy just went in the return game. A lot of people think Deion Sanders the greatest return guy of all time early in his career with Atlanta Falcons.
About? There's no debate. There's only him and Devin Hester. Like, that's
different level.
Yeah, there's
different level.
And Devin wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer, which is, you know, we were having a conversation about Frank. I would love for Frank to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but that's just a different.
I told you that was going to happen. You're not completely sold.
I'm not buying it.
They're
going
to go, you had to play too long to get those numbers.
Yeah, and they're going to hate on him. And I hate the process.
But he will get in.
He'll get in.
By the way, I'm not one of these. God, we got these guys now. Like, yeah. Well, if you're not first time.
Well, if
it takes you 5 years to get in, man, you're in. The first ballots are
a special club.
Yes.
And Frank is a special player, but I don't know if he's in that special club. Yeah. Emmett's in that special club. Yeah. Barry Sanders is in that special club. Walter Payton is in that special club.
Oh, no. Frank, you know, when one of those guys comes out that he is.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, we all look at each other. It's one of those things you go, oh, no, that guy's first time right there, for sure. All right. Hey, we got to go to break here. We got a lot more stuff to get to here. Mike Florio is still going to join us in 9 o'clock hour from Pro Football Talk. And, oh, the Jerry Jones stuff, oh, my gosh, is unbelievable. Wants to deal directly with the best defensive player maybe in football and doesn't want to deal with the agent. And
hey, man, he got a deal done. He's not talking to the agent because he's already agreed on all the terms, Joe.
So sounds good. Sounds good. Now go to my agent and make sure all the words being used are the right ones for us to make sure I get that money.